Amen. It's wonderful to be with you tonight. And if you would, please take God's word with me. And we'll go to Philippians chapter number 3 and begin reading in verse number 1 in just a moment. And I want to say that I'm grateful for the opportunity to bring God's word tonight. I'm thankful for the Temple Baptist Church. And I'm glad to be a member of a local church. It's a wonderful thing. I'm thankful for my pastor and Mrs. Sexton. And I'm hoping they have a very wonderful anniversary. My wife and I have been married for 3.5 years. And so they've given us something to aspire towards. Pastor said something interesting a few moments ago. He said, we've been married for 56 years now. We haven't shot each other yet. And Allie and I have been married for 3.5 years. And we haven't shot each other yet. And that's because the gun is on my side of the bed. And so if you would, continue to pray for us. She'd have to go through me to get to it, okay? But we're looking forward to many more years with the Temple Baptist Church. And we are so thankful to call this home. We're praying for Pastor and Mrs. Sexton. And we're praying that God will bless in the meeting tonight. If you would, please look with me at verse number 1 in Philippians chapter number 3. If you'll be patient with me, we'll read several verses. And then we'll find our text here in Philippians 3, verse number 1. The Bible says this. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me, indeed, is not grievous. But for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh. If any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the 8th day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews. As touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Amen. And we'll complete our reading with chapter 4 and verse number 1. The Bible says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Amen. The little book of Philippians is an interesting little book. It's a letter that was written to this church in a city called Philippi by the Apostle Paul while he was in prison, most likely in Rome. And he sends this little letter to this church, not to correct doctrinal issues like he had in other letters, but rather to edify and to encourage and to exhort the believers in the city of Philippi. And he sends this letter along, and when you come to chapter number 3 and verse number 1, Paul begins to tie things up, put a bow on things, and conclude his letter. And I want you to notice in verse number 1 of chapter 3, Paul says this one word, finally. Now, he makes an early ending to his letter because he uses that word once again later in chapter number 4. Paul seems to be that kind of a preacher who always has one more thing to share with you. But in chapter 3 and verse number 1, he says, finally. And I'd like to share with you just for a few moments the final words of the Apostle Paul to the church at Philippi. And here in chapter number 3, I see three primary words that he sends to this church. And I'll give them to you very quickly. The first word is this. Paul sends along a word of caution. Paul sends along a word of caution. In the early days of the New Testament church, Christians were attacked on every hand. Many received bodily persecution and affliction. And many others received spiritual persecution and antagonism. And Paul, in his day, sends along a word of caution to the Philippians. And he says in verse number 2 of chapter 3, beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. And what he's talking about is the Judaizers, a group of Jewish people who claim that you had to adhere still to the law of Moses in order to be a true follower, a true child of God. And Paul says in verse number 2, beware of these dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. Don't listen to these people who are perverting the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I'd have you know, in our day today, the same thing is taking place. The gospel of Jesus Christ is being perverted by everybody who could possibly do so. And a word of caution needs to go out in our day today that we need to stand fast and hold true to the word of God. Paul says, beware. He says in verse number 3, he says, we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. It's an interesting thing to think about. Paul says, we are the true children of God. We are the circumcision. God has taken away that old man and given us new life in Jesus Christ. We have no confidence in the flesh. And in our day, there are so many who would seek to pervert the work of Jesus Christ and the gospel by adding works, by doing things their own way. And throughout Scripture, you see the necessity of staying true to God and His Word and doing God's work His way. I want to show you a story in Judges chapter number 17 very quickly. Judges is an interesting book. And if you begin reading in Judges, you'll find that there's a cycle that happens over and over again. God's people rebel against God and they begin to worship idols and follow after false gods. And God judges them for it. And in their affliction, they cry out to God for mercy and He delivers them. And then they go after strange gods once again. God judges them for it. And in their affliction, they cry out to God for mercy and God delivers them. But when you come to Judges chapter 17, it's a bit of a parenthetical chapter. And God zooms in on one particular story, just about a couple of people. But it's interesting what it reveals to us. Judges chapter 17 and verse number 1, the Bible says this. And there was a man of Mount Ephraim whose name was Micah. And he said unto his mother, the 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken from thee, about which thou cursed and spakest of also in mine ears, behold, the silver is with me. I took it. And his mother said, blessed be thou of the Lord, my son. And when he had restored the 1,100 shekels of silver to his mother said, I had wholly dedicated the silver. Listen here. I had wholly dedicated the silver unto the Lord from my hand for my son, to make a graven image and a molten image. Now, therefore, I will restore it unto thee. Yet he restored the money unto his mother, and his mother took 200 shekels of silver and gave them to the founder, who made thereof a graven image and a molten image. And they were in the house of Micah. And the man Micah had an house of gods and made an ephod. and teraphim and consecrated one of his sons who became his priest. In those days, there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Do you see how in this particular account, in Judges chapter number 17, Micah's mother had 1,100 shekels of silver. And she said, plain as day, I had wholly dedicated the money to the Lord to make a graven image. They wanted to do God's work. They wanted to be godly. They wanted to run with the religious crowd, but they wanted to do it their own way. Continue reading with me in Judges chapter 17. Look at verse number 7. And there was a young man out of Bethlehem, Judah, of the family of Judah, who was a Levite, the priestly tribe. And he sojourned there. And the man departed out of the city from Bethlehem, Judah, to sojourn where he could find a place. And he came to Mount Ephraim to the house of Micah as he journeyed. And Micah said unto him, whence comest thou? And he said unto him, I am a Levite of Bethlehem, Judah. And he came to Mount Ephraim, I am a Levite of Bethlehem, Judah, and I go to sojourn where I may find a place. And Micah said unto him, dwell with me, and be unto me a father and a priest, and I will give thee 10 shekels of silver by the year, and a suit of apparel, and thy victuals. So the Levite went in, and the Levite was content to dwell with the man. And the young man was unto him as one of his sons. And Micah consecrated the Levite. And the young man became his priest and was in the house of Micah. Then said Micah, now know I that the Lord will do me good, seeing I have a Levite to my priest. Do you see how twisted and perverted their theology is in Judges chapter number 17? Micah says, I'll just hire myself a priest. I'll pay him 10 shekels a year. I'll give him a suit of clothes every year, and I'll provide his meals. And then at the end of the chapter, Micah consecrates the Levite. And this man becomes his priest. And Micah has the audacity to say in verse number 13, now know I that the Lord will do me good, seeing I have a Levite to my priest. Do you see why the word of caution that Paul sent out was necessary? Because there are people who would pervert the gospel of Jesus Christ, who would preach another Jesus, and who would preach another gospel. It's happened in the scriptures from beginning to end, and Judges 17 is just one example of it. Another example, in Exodus chapter 34, God told his people, when you go into the land of promise, you'll tear down all of the high places and the groves. The high places and the groves were those places where the pagans would go and make sacrifice to their gods. If you continue reading on through the historical books, when you come to the Kings and the Chronicles, do you know what you find? You find the people of God making sacrifices in high places and groves. They want to be religious. They want to do God's work, but they did it their own way. They did not adhere to God's prescribed manner of worship and work. And that's why Paul, in Philippians chapter number 3, sends out a word of caution. He said, there are dogs and evil workers and those of the concision who would turn you away from Jesus Christ. And today, the same thing is taking place. And we ought to know the truth of God's word and be ready to stand in defense of God's word and gladly and boldly proclaim the truth of God's word. Because there are those who would twist it and pervert it. Not only does Paul send out a word of caution in Philippians chapter number 3, but he also sends out a word about Christ. Look with me in Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 7. Paul is testifying now. He says, if anybody could glory in the flesh, that would be me. I come from the straightest sect of the Pharisees. If anybody could fulfill the law, it would have been me. But then he starts to say in verse number 7 of Philippians 3, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Anything that I could have been proud of in my own strength and my own flesh, I'm going to cast that aside. That's nothing but loss for me. because I want to win Christ. Verse 8, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him, and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And he says, if anybody could glory in their flesh, that would be me. But I have truly one thing, one person in which to glory, and that's my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And once again, I say to you, the same is true for us today. We have no glory outside the glory of Jesus Christ. We have no worth outside the worthiness of Jesus Christ. And we ought to always glory in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We must always keep our eyes on Him. It's all about Him. It's all for Him. It's all by Him. And the devil would delight to do nothing more than to make our Christian life about anything or anyone besides Christ. But Paul says, it's all about Jesus Christ. It's all about our Lord. It's all about Him. Do you remember that account in Isaiah chapter number 6? Isaiah was a prophet of God, a man called by God, an able man. But the Bible says in Isaiah chapter number 6 something really interesting. The Bible says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain He covered His face, and with twain He covered His feet, and with twain He did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of Him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Look here. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Do you notice something? The Bible says in verse 1 that Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up. And the Bible says after he has seen the Lord in verse number 5, then said I. You come to find out that Isaiah was not truly qualified and ready to do the work that God had called him to do until he had seen God high and lifted up, until God was in His proper place in his life. And Paul is saying in Philippians 3, in my life, it's all about Jesus Christ. He is the one and only. He is the preeminent one. Isaiah said, I saw the Lord, and then said I, woe is me. It's interesting. A lot of times we look at Isaiah chapter 6 and we remember that famous verse. Then said I, here am I, send me. But before there's a here am I, send me, there's a woe is me. Because Isaiah saw the Lord for who He really was. Amen. And in Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah gets a lot of attention. But he's not the main character. God is. And were it not for God in Isaiah chapter number 6, Isaiah chapter 6 would be about nothing but a dead king. God is the one who was preeminent. And in Philippians 3, Paul is saying, it is all about Jesus Christ. He sends out a word of caution about dogs and evil workers. He sends out a word about Christ and says, keep Christ the goal. Keep Christ front and foremost. It's all about Him. The question for us tonight is, our Christian life truly all about Jesus Christ? Or have we diluted it down and made it about something else? It's been said already tonight, our goal is God. Our goal is God. And Paul in Philippians 3, he sends out a word of caution. He sends out a word about Christ. And then based on this word about Christ, he sends out a word concerning our conduct. I want you to look back with me at Philippians chapter number 3 and verse number 15. The Bible says this, based on what we know to be true about Christ, and based on who he is and the glory that he is so worthy of. Verse 15, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. And Paul is saying, who Christ is and what he has done for us should change the way that we live as believers. And let me ask you this, how's your conduct tonight? Is it what it ought to be as a child of God? Look at verse number 17. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. Paul says, follow me as I'm following the Lord. I'm setting forth an example for you. And then he says this in verse 18. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Can I tell you what hinders the conduct of a believer so often? Earthly things. And then Paul goes on and says something very interesting in verse number 20. In regards to these people who mind earthly things, he says, for our conversation is in heaven. Think about that for just a moment. He draws a contrast there that is so stark. There are those who mind earthly things, who are consumed with the things of this world. But he says, our conversation is in heaven. We are not of this world, and we don't belong to this world. Our home is a country not of this world. We belong to our God, and we are as good as in heaven. He says, our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, listen here, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. And Paul is saying we're going to be bombarded with everything the devil could possibly imagine to throw at us. And in light of that, stand fast in the Lord. How is your conduct tonight? Paul, he loves these people. And he pours out his heart to these people. And he sends this letter to them. And he says, be careful. There are dogs and evil workers who would turn you away from the gospel of Jesus Christ. We see the same thing taking place in our day. He points these believers to the Lord Jesus Christ and says, keep him first and foremost in your life. And with Christ first and foremost in your life, live the way he has called you to live. So stand fast in the Lord. And the question simply is this tonight. Have we heeded the words that Paul has sent to the church at Philippi? Have we heeded the words that God has sent to us tonight? Are we living the way God has called us to live in light of the wickedness around us? Does Christ have his proper place in our lives? Are we standing fast tonight?